Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of the things in today's gospel lesson are just the same as when Jesus, our Lord, first called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and he told them that they'd be catching men instead of fish. And now, in our text today, Peter goes fishing again. I kind of like to go fishing. But once again, they catch nothing. Then Jesus appears, and just as the last time, Peter and his fellow fishermen found themselves with almost more fish than they could handle. Jesus and Peter had a little over 3 years of history between them since that last great catch of fish. Peter had learned a lot about himself, didn't he? Some of it was pretty good, and well, some of it was not so good. But Peter learned that he had this bad habit of talking before he had engaged his brain. Peter had given one of the best confessions of Jesus Christ as the Almighty Savior of the world. He had said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And that in itself is another example for us that our faith comes from God and not from within. But before that day was out, Peter would mess up again in big time, big fashion. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Hey, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So it only took Peter about 6 verses of scripture to go from being blessed to being called Satan. That's pretty bad. Then, of course, we've heard before Peter's great promise of loyalty to his Lord. Peter had said, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus then said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter's response to that, "Even if I must die," he said, "I will not deny you." We know what happened then. It didn't take Peter very long to fail. You remember those passages from our Lord's Passion? How that servant girl had come up to Peter and confronted him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean," but Peter denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to him, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath. He says, "I do not know the man." And after a while, all the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." And then Peter began to invoke a curse on himself and a swear. He said, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Peter then remembered the saying that Jesus had when he said, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And then Peter went out to began to cry like a baby. So Peter's track record isn't too good, is it? beginning of Jesus' ministry, Peter had confessed his sin to Jesus. He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He didn't feel worthy to be in the presence of his Lord. And now, after a little more than 3 years, Peter had no reason to change his self-assessment of himself. And despite this rather deplorable track record, Jesus still wanted Peter to become an apostle. 3 times Jesus had asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And 3 times Jesus told Peter to care for his sheep. Just less than 2 weeks before that, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. And now he heard Jesus restore him 3 times. I think our Lord didn't just want Peter to be a part of his divine family, but Jesus wanted Peter to take care of his flock. Jesus knew that Peter had been carrying around this painful guilt and that he needed to get rid of it. He had to do something. He knew that Peter had to confess his guilt, and that would enable him to get rid of it. So Jesus brought Peter to the grief that he felt that night when Peter had wept so bitterly. And Jesus didn't leave Peter in that guilt for very long. No, he comforted Peter. And he did that. He comforted him by telling him that his sins had been forgiven. And then he called Peter to be an under-shepherd of his flock. What a restoration to grace. What comfort there is to hear those words of forgiveness. Our Lord Jesus Christ is able to give this grace because of his great work, his perfect life that fulfilled all of the law, his innocent suffering and death on the cross that made the payment for what we owed for our sins, and his resurrection that opens the way to heaven for all believers. All these things make up Christ's great work that freely offered grace to Peter. This grace is so great that Peter, who denied even knowing Jesus, he eventually became one of the great leaders of the church. And here comes the best part. This grace wasn't meant just for Peter alone. Why, even in our first reading today, we encountered this guy named Saul on the road to Damascus so that he could do his job and arrest all the Christians he could find. And our Lord had come to him with a great light and a great voice. Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Jesus said, "I am him whom you are persecuting." Saul had to go through the grief of his sins. Saul had to come to grips with the fact that when he persecuted the church, he was persecuting Jesus, the very Son of God. The grace that Jesus earned with his life, suffering, death, and resurrection was meant for Saul as well. And this time, Jesus administered his grace to Saul through the disciple Ananias. Ananias came to Saul and laid his hands on him, and he spoke those words that he spoke to him, which was basically the absolution, that his sins had been forgiven. Our Lord's grace is so great that Saul, who persecuted the church so badly, eventually became Paul the evangelist. He even authored more than half of the books of the New Testament. There's incredible comfort in this for us. For our God, our Heavenly Father, doesn't change. His promises are great, his promises are sure, and his promises are pure. The grace that Jesus earned for you upon the cross is not just for those people from long ago. It's for all people of all ages, of all times, and in all places. The same Holy Spirit who entered Peter to who brought Peter to bitter tears also brings to me and you the comfort of our guilt for our sins. And we do that when we confess and we receive absolution. In this way, he makes us aware of our need for a Savior. Remember that? In this way, the Holy Spirit makes us aware of our need for a Savior. So the grace that Jesus earned with his life, suffering, death, and resurrection, it comes to you just as it had come to Peter and just as it happened for Paul. Just as the Holy Spirit worked through Ananias in our scripture today to bring that grace and forgiveness to Saul, so also the Holy Spirit works through his church and your pastor to bring grace and forgiveness to you. The grace of Jesus Christ is very great. It'll not leave you unchanged. All those who believe in Jesus Christ have their sins forgiven and their relationship with God restored. All believers become heirs of eternal life in heaven. The grace that Jesus Christ earned offers you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Listen, we have all failed and fallen just like the disciples, the apostles even failed. There's been times like you and I, when we've been guilty, we confess our sins to God Almighty. We've wanted to fit in and be so denied that we know Jesus. We do that, don't we? We deny him. And we've all made promises to God that we haven't kept. And like the disciples, we often focus on ourselves instead of God. Jesus works in you through the Holy Spirit to reinstate you, to bring you back into his divine family. In his love, he suffered and died for you. And so, Jesus is here now among us to give his gifts to us. For as a baptized, believing Christian, as you are, rise. All of his gifts and all of God's promises are for you. In Christ alone. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.